This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, it's Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy, and welcome to episode 646 on Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, we're on part two of our leadership series with Mike Davidson, shop owner, and a John Maxwell, certified teacher, trainer, and coach. In this episode, Mike focuses on the idea that what your employees see is what they will be. It's time to take a moment and realize your behavior has a long-lasting impact on your leadership influence. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for bringing you this discussion with Mike. Imagine being able to see new product, tool, and equipment demos in a simulated real-world shop environment, complete with 8 service bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter area. It's set to launch at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Visit AAPEXShow.com for details. Registration is open, and I do hope to see you there. Here's a sobering thought. How much paper have you touched today? Those piles of time stacked all over the shop. Think what you could do with that time and how many more cars you could get through the door. Cha-ching! It's time for a digital shop management system. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, to find Mike's previous episodes on leadership, head to my website, remarkableresults.biz, and search for Mike Davidson. And remember, every listen from the podcast archives gives you an edge. Hey, warm welcome to Mike Davidson, and we're here, Michael. Wow, this is part number two in our leadership series.
Yeah,
Mike is a John Maxwell certified teacher, trainer, and coach. Good to have you here. John Maxwell is one of my most favorite leadership authors, and of course, Mike also has a company, Industry Essentials, fabulous apprentice program, Wage and Hour book. And I know you're writing a brand new book.
Yeah. In fact, before the recording today, I got an email from the publisher that he's finishing up his final edit. So, yeah, we're this close on technician time management.
I'm so happy you're here that we're going to do these 5 series on leadership. I think building a great business culture, doing all the right things as an individual, as the leader of the business is so critical. And we've done shows on leadership, Mike, but I love the idea that we could actually point people to, hey, go out and listen to these 5 episodes from Mike and really dive and dig in deep. Today, we're going to talk about what they see is what they will be. I love that. I mean, of course, Mike has picked all these topics. He's the expert, and I'm the guy who's going to benefit as much as our listener to all this great leadership advice. So I guess let's talk about behavior.
For those who have children, you will see this in your children as well, like certain behaviors that you know are your behavior. You see them manifested in your children. With the right relationship with people at work over time, you'll begin to see that happen the same way. Hence our subject today is what they see is what they will be. There was something that our team developed over time with me, and it was what would Mike do? As they would be thinking about their different situations that they're in and things they're dealing with. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about me starting Parkway Automotive, an automotive repair facility, it was me, and I had things done the way I want them. The reason you hire people is to do what you would do that you're unable to do that too, right? You can't be the accountant. You can't be the technician, the service advisor. You can't be all those people. So you're hiring people to do what you would do. So in essence, it's important to have good communication, but more importantly, there's something called the inner man and the outer man, right? And there needs to be alignment between those two. The inner man we would teach through John Maxwell is your character. That's really what goes on inside your head all the time. You know, that speaks of your character. Your outer man will reveal your inner man, but your outer man also shows something your inner man doesn't necessarily show, and that's competency. My ability to know a 3/16 wrench from a half inch to a millimeter. You know, that's all competency, and that's your outer man that people can see. The inner man plays itself out in your behavior, and people are watching. You know, I say to guys all the time is that, like, you must know that you are on stage all the time. You know, people talk about, you know, I sometimes watch videos of people singing. My wife's a big singer. I can barely carry the bucket, if you know what I mean. So these people have their 15 minutes of fame. You know, you hear that term. Well, let me tell you what, if you're a shop owner, you're a manager, you're an owner, you are on stage all the time. And that's an important perspective to have when it comes to your personal development and your behavior. And so when you get the outside aligned with the inside, you're on a journey of success if you have the inside working correctly. And so today I talked about the 7 C's of leadership that I put before you. Gosh, I hope we have time. I probably brought way more content because there's like, I've got some really practical stuff for you to do as a leader. 5 things to make sure that your yes be yes. That's something I say a lot. Always let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think it's been a guiding principle for my leadership over the years that has served me well, because even if it costs you, you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no, no matter what. It's a guiding principle. And then I hope, if we have time, I have 9 questions that you can use. And what I'm going to do, Carm, I'm actually going to send those 9 questions to you. Those 9 questions are to help you think through when you go through a difficult situation or a conversation that you're going to need to have with an employee. I first want everyone to know that it's important not to be on this journey that we're on in leadership of our businesses. Don't be on this journey alone. You need to have people around you. You need to have really good people around you. And the great news is that you get to choose who those people are. And when you choose the right people to be around you, you're gonna grow. You're gonna experience growth. It's when you choose not to do that. People influence us, and leadership is influence. And so we have to understand when we're on stage and that we have influence every day, all the time in our businesses, what are some things that we need to really have in our mind and understand? The first one is communication. That's the first C. And communication with the first C, I'm really talking about, I teach in my leadership class, I teach listen, learn, and lead. You do it in that order. You listen first, then you learn, and you lead. So let's talk about the pandemic and what we went through here at Parkway. All these different people from all different backgrounds and all these different perspectives on how things ought to be or not ought to be. So what we did is every Monday at noon, I had a shop meeting spread out in the shop where, you know, we were all social distancing within the shop. We brought in food that was catered in, you know, all following all the guidelines. And I just began to have conversation about how do we manage this between our customers, our vendors? Here's what I'm thinking. What are you guys thinking? And we put together a plan as a collaborative team. But see, I first had to be willing to sort of put things out on the table, not be in this pandemic thing by myself. Although I'm the leader of the company and I have to be the one to make the decisions, I'm a fool if I think I have all the answers. So I want good communication. It starts with me listening. So I listened. I learned what my employees thought was safe, and then I was able to lead. So after the first meeting, then we put together a plan, put it back out and said, here's what we're thinking. How does everybody feel? Does everybody feel comfortable? So we started doing the things, and I won't go through the details of what we did. Everybody did all kinds of things, and we did too. But what was important is then following up with my people, and I would go back to them and say, hey, do you feel safe coming to work at Parkway right now? And that's one-on-one, just listening. And I would ask them another question, say, what's the conversation at dinner at home like about Parkway when it comes to the pandemic? I'm just listening. I listened and I learned and I was able then to lead my team. And my team was, I mean, we held together. Everything went great. We had no problems. We had a couple of people get COVID. They went home. They took care of themselves. They came back. Everything worked well for us during that time. So that's the first thing is communication. Listen, learn, and lead. That is the leader's role in communication. Number 2 is connection. You can't ask for your employee's hand before you get their heart. And the way you do that is you have interest in the person. You place value on that person. And you put their interest ahead of your own. And always express gratitude for that person. This is an ongoing way of communication, of connecting, I should say, with your employees. I'll give you a good example. Curtis has worked for me for since 2010. So he's been with me now 11 years. He stands about 6'2". Let me just tell you, because of the connection that we have had for these number of years as an employer, one morning he decided to clock in and then run down to the convenience store and get him something to drink, which was not very wise in my opinion, because it's right when we open and customers coming in. And so just it was abnormal to me, but it was something I felt like I really needed to talk with him about right away. It wasn't something I could just let go because other employees are watching him too, right? That he gets to go and maybe do these things. Maybe because of this tenor, he thought it was okay to go and do that. So when he got back from the store, I brought him to the upper room, as we call it here at Parkway. We had a talk, and I was mean to him? We're friends, right? I mean, I say friends, but at this point I needed to be his employer and I needed to hold him to account to my expectations as an owner. Well, I probably didn't have four words out of my mouth about what he had done. And he just began to weep and say, "Mike, I am so sorry. I'll never let that happen again." You see, I had his heart, and because I had his heart, he understood even more important what his responsibility was and what he needed to do. We went back to work. Everything's fine.
Did he know why you called him up?
Not immediately, but only about four words in, like, "Where'd you just get back from?" And so he immediately knew where his situation was. So again, you can't ask for their hand before you get their hearts when it comes to your employees. Number three, the third C, confident. We should all be good at what we do, but we should be great at who we are. And that's where our own personal development must grow within us, to be confident of our abilities of leadership. So many times as a leader, we can lose our confidence as a leader because we don't really know what to do or what to say. We just don't know. But which in one sense is okay, but in another sense, if you are making the time to personally grow in your role as a leader, then you will gain the confidence you need on the inside. And that's who you are, so that you can be good at what you do and great at who you are.
Mike, is confidence one of the toughest things?
I think it is, in the sense that we always think we have to have the answer. And I think our confidence needs to be in that we don't always have the answer, and that we can find value in other people that can help us find the right answer. And a lot of times it's the people that are right in your building. You know, you may not need to go and hire John Maxwell to show you or teach you, you know, but you can find a lot of answers. In fact, if you were to read the book, The Toyota Way, the best answers you'll find to situations within your organization are the people on the front lines that are dealing with the situation. They just got to feel like they can tell you.
I learned a little later in life, it's okay to say, "I don't know." And I think it shows the confidence to people that I didn't want to always be the smartest guy in the box. I always didn't have to have an answer. My ego wasn't getting in the way. And I realized that I needed to find the answer, but I also needed to collaborate with people to find the answer.
That comes from a perspective of understanding that every person on the planet has value. You see, that's the Maxwell method of leadership, is understanding that everyone has value, that everyone can add value to the situation, and you can too. So that's an understanding. The fourth C is compassion, and we'll just throw in caring. You must always see beyond the moment when you're in situations, and look at the bigger picture. You know, some people, they woke up that morning and, you know, they tripped when they got out of bed and they hurt their arm and the dog bit their foot. And, you know, all these things can happen before they ever get to work that you have no idea about. Being compassionate toward the fact that people have real lives and things happen. I love the situation that I had with a new employee that actually had not even started to come to work for us yet. And the day she was to come to work, I tried to reach her. She was supposed to be there. No call, no show. First time, you know, and it's just like, this doesn't seem right, because our interview process showed this was going to be a great employee. This did not make sense. Finally, at 10:45 in the morning, I tried to call her again. She answers the phone and she is crying as if she had just lost a child. Well, what had happened was her dog died, and she could not even compose herself enough to send a text or call me. She was just a mess. So I said, it's okay. I said, we know who you are. We learned about who you were in the interview process. Stacy, I want you to work through that and you go back with me. But while that was going on, I did something that really was really helpful to me because I really didn't know how to deal with this. I went on Nextdoor.com, which is a great app, if you don't know what that is, to stay involved in your neighborhood. And I asked the people, I said, I've got a new employee and her dog died and I really want to show compassion. What do you suggest I do? Well, I can just tell you that people on Nextdoor.com, they're full of dog lovers and cat lovers and animal lovers, period. The responses I got back helped me handle that situation with her in a really grand way that showed her she had value. We got a quick card made. All the employees signed it. All the employees already met her. They knew who she was. And it just expressed our sadness for her having lost her dog. See, that's showing compassion to an employee that really didn't even know us yet and only knew us a little bit. And that cemented a relationship with her as a new employee. And let me tell you what it did in the neighborhood, a byproduct. They're going, wow, that company really cares about their employees. I'm going to start having my car service there. I mean, there were 3 or 4 people that said that out of, you know, the 20 or 30 people that jumped in and gave me advice. My mission was to show compassion to someone I really didn't understand how to when they've lost a dog. I probably would if they lost a child, but not a dog.
Great story. Great story. Thank you.
And then the fifth C is curiosity. And you've mentioned this, and we've already talked a little bit about it. We'll spend about a second on it. And that's asking people for feedback. And we even talked about it a little bit last week. I think we talk about blind spots. You know, have curiosity-based questions to your people. Ask them questions out of curiosity and what they see and what you might see them doing.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Mike lists 9 questions you should ask yourself to identify if you're approaching a situation the right way. Hey, did you know that Apex 2021 is designating a new area called Repair Shop HQ with you in mind? That's right. This one-stop destination is being designed to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of today's shop owners, managers, and technicians. As part of this addition, Joe's Garage, a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter area will feature the latest product and equipment demos. A new dedicated tire section, 3 training theaters, and a diagnostics and telematics area also will be part of Repair Shop HQ. And there's still more. The popular tool and equipment section and the mobile heat transfer heating air conditioning section will relocate to this new area. This immersive environment located on level 1 of the Sands Expo will be ready and waiting for you November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Now, I hope to see you there. Visit aapexshow.com for details. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. I've always heard, Mike, that some of the best CEOs always seem to be in the know, quote unquote. They kind of know what's going on in the business. So they always go out and ask questions to confirm what they think they know. And because of that curiosity level, because they know how to frame up strategic plans, current plans in the minds of their people, they become so learned, but yet the reputation is he really cares about what we say and what we know.
It's all true. It's a great character trait of leadership to invest in your people, both from their knowledge and other things that you can do for them. So being curious. Number 6 is character. I've alluded to this a little bit, but it's important to just spend another second on it. And that is the internal. This is, we've all heard this term, it's who you are when no one is looking, right? And it comes down to your personal values. Because within your business, when I said in the beginning of our time today, Carm, it's like you, the reason you hire people is so that they do the things that you do. Well, see, you've got to be able to communicate your values to others. Now, you can write values down on a sheet of paper all day long, but what's going to really communicate your values is your character. As people spend time within your organization, they're watching and seeing how you handle the internal customer, which is right, all your employees, as well as the external customers. How do you handle that situation with other people? See, that's your character. What I would say to everyone who goes through tough times, you may have heard people say that tough times build character, and I couldn't disagree with that more. Tough times don't build character. Tough times show your character. So at the moment you're in that tough situation with an employee or a customer or a vendor or whatever it is, see, your character is going to come out at that moment. Who you are is what's going to come out. And that's why it's so important to have personal development. You know, I thought of this weekend when we talk about personal development, how important it is to have the people around you and how a coach might help you do that. Someone like a coach might help you do that. You might pay a dollar to a coach, but you get $2 change. What I mean by that is you're going to change as a result. You're going to double your value internally by having a coach.
And I think that's one of the areas that our industry does not stop to realize when they say they can't afford to hire a coach. To a point, it may be the money, but it more possibly is, am I really willing to change? Am I really willing to listen to someone else since I'm the one who I listen to? I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. Why do I need someone else trying to tell me how to do dishes?
That's true. You know, there is one person who doesn't need a coach, and that's the person who has the ability to see the end of their nose. Because you see, the only way you can see your end of your nose is with a mirror, and a coach is nothing but a mirror. That's what a coach is. They help you see things you can't see. That's what they do. Number seven, conviction. Conviction has to do with your own personal convictions because it's within your convictions that trust is communicated to your staff. I mean, this is the greatest violation of leadership. We have to be trustworthy with our employees. And that really goes back to what we're going to jump in next on letting your yes be yes and your no be no. When you say something, and this should cause you to make sure that you listen, learn, and lead before you say something. And that is to simply understand that when you say something to an employee, because that's really what I want to stay stuck to is our internal customers, your employees. When you say something to them and you determine later you made the wrong decision and it's going to cost you money, you better spend the money. It will gain so much for you. I say this a lot. There's two things you don't mess with a man. You don't mess with his wife or his money, right? that's just a Saline County, Arkansas saying, okay? It goes way back, y'all. We made a $400 mistake on an employee's paycheck. Now, I want you to know he came to me and told me, and I said, keep it. We have a responsibility to do our job when it comes to your money. You're going to keep it. I'm not going to take it back. Those are all opportunities to build trust with your employees. Don't miss these difficult times, these difficult decisions as opportunities to build trust with your employees.
Michael, I call that the do right rule.
Oh, yeah.
And some people would come out and say, well, the do right rule is to take it back. You just don't want to set an example. Oh, my God, I can't wait for the boss to make a mistake on my check someday, right? I would have done the same thing that you did.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at that, when you turn that internally and look at what should I have done? Well, and I mean, it was my payroll clerk, right? My office manager. It's like, what can I help her do to never let this happen again? That was the learning experience. All right. And so that it won't happen again because we don't mess with a man's money. So there's five ways to make sure your yes be yes. Five ways to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Number one, always do your homework. Which I mean by that is to know your facts. When there's a decision to be made or something you're to be doing or something you're going to offer someone or do something, some type of either bonus program or something you're going to do, doesn't matter what it is, do your homework. That's number one. Number two, list your options and where they can lead. So as I say it this way, project before you react. Really determine. And another way to say that, Carm, is to count your cost. So know your facts and count your cost. Number three, seek advice from the right people. And this comes back to having those people at your fingertips, and we'll call them mentors, all right? It may not be a relationship where you have a mentor is a little different than a coach. A coach might be someone I meet with regularly. A mentor is someone that I'm going to call when I have a decision to make that I need help, because I know, love, and trust them, right? I know, love, and trust that person to help me make good decisions. So I'm going to seek advice from the right people.
I do that a lot, where I reach out to people, say, hey, I got an idea. What about this? And the input that I get isn't what I was looking for. But I don't discount the fact that that person maybe I didn't clarify it. Maybe I didn't explain it well enough and they didn't really know, but then that's their answer. But I think about it, and I realize, well, while my forward momentum on this decision is really moving well, and all of a sudden I reached out to someone and it's like it just took the air out of my sails. I thought I was about ready to, wow, one more final confirm and clarify, and I'm going to rock with this idea or this project. And it sets me back. But it sets me back into thinking. It sets me back into strategizing. And I wonder if there's some really good advice in the answer I wasn't happy about.
Yes. And so that comes back to the method of leadership that we teach in Maxwell, and that is we value people, which means we value their opinion. We value their input. So number four, this one's simple. Just listen to your instincts. I mean, you've been given that. You know, I talk about, I mentioned this last week about how everyone has a perspective, and that perspective comes about through their life experiences, their skill, their knowledge. Those are all the things that help build that perspective on things. And so you have that too. You're not without that. So listen to the instincts that you have. And then the fifth thing to make your yes be yes and your no be no is make decisions based on principles. We have a mission statement at Parkway, and the mission statement is that the mission of Parkway Automotive is to provide ethical, reliable service to the motoring public. It's that simple. When I talk about, we're going to be talking about this in the next few lessons about this latitude. I give my advisors a lot of latitude because I want to give them a chance to fail as leaders. As long as their decisions are filtered through that mission statement, because that mission statement speaks of Mike's values that I established 23 years ago, I'm going to stand behind their decision no matter how much it costs. Because you see, I believe in them. And so make decisions based on principles and values. And when you've been able as a leader to communicate your values to your staff, and you've given them guidelines through a mission statement, and you give them latitude and give them an opportunity to fail, you're going to see your values being reflected in their behavior over time. So that's how to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, I want to talk about nine questions to identify, are we approaching a situation in the right way to talk with what I call care and candor? The root of a problem with an employee is when you pull all of it back, they're either unwilling or unable to do whatever. Whatever the situation is, it's an unwilling or unable situation. Without candor, you will create a dysfunctional relationship between you and the employee. Meaning if there's something that needs to be talked about, you need to talk about it. And candor without care creates distance in the relationship. But when you get a balance of care and candor, that creates a long-lasting relationship. And I'll tell you a quick story. It was my very first day in the automotive industry, and I call it wash the truck. Maybe you've heard that term before. I use this because it has served me well, not just in my relationships with employees, but also the fact that I've not had a single unemployment claim in 23 years because of this one principle I learned the very first day in the industry. You see, I worked for a GMC dealership, and the owner took me outside. It was a cold November day, and he drew an imaginary circle on the ground. And he's told me to stand in that imaginary circle. Of course, I was, 19 years old, and I said, yes, sir. And I stood in that circle, and he brought a truck out on the wash bay. It was outside, by the way, on just a concrete pad. And he washed that truck, cleaned it inside and out. And when he got done, he said, Mike, that's what I want my trucks to look like when you're done. Do you have any questions? I said, no, sir. Well, what I learned that day and the principle that I've carried with me throughout my entire life and my career as a business owner is this. When I see an employee not washing the truck the way I want them to, the first thing I ask myself is, have I washed the truck for them? Have I made sure that they know what my values are and what my expectations are in that behavior or that procedure that they're doing? So I will either do one or two things. One, I go over there and actually wash the truck, right? Or I'll go over their job description. And that's why job descriptions are so important to your role as a leader, because it sets the expectation for your employees. And in this case, I just described to you, you also, as you get older, it's something you remember you said, right? Because you wrote it down in a job description or what you expected. That's helpful. But then for the employee, you have down what it is they're expected to do. And now you can honestly and candidly, but with care, go over the job description, not in a condescending way, just say, I want to make sure that I've done my job to communicate. And so this is that care and candor. And a job description helps you do that as a shop owner. That should be important to you because it will help you communicate well to your employees when you have job descriptions.
You know, so many of us in the industry, we just don't want to deal with it. We don't want to ask the right questions. We don't even care that individual could grow and blossom in our business. And we basically just walk away and say, if I put some Neosporin on it, it'll go away. And Neosporin is, I just ignore it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. You know, everything worthwhile is uphill, John Maxwell says, and I'll add the word always on the end of that. You know, we're all walking up that downhill escalator. And as soon as the escalator stops or we stop walking, we're going down. So here are the 9 questions. And a lot of these are internal questions that you're asking yourself, okay? These aren't just necessarily questions you're going to go ask the employee. These are questions for yourself. Number one is, have I invested in this relationship enough so that I can be candid with them? You see, that's the way it was with me and Curtis. Because of the relationship and the investment that we had, I knew I could have that conversation with him and I could keep my emotions in check. And I know that he would fully understand and listen to what I had to say because I had influence. I have influence in his life because of the character that I put on display in front of him. So have you invested in that relationship enough so that you can be candid? Number two, do I truly value this person as a person or just as a team member? We're all created this amazing way. I'll just take it to the simplest form. You talked about Neosporin a while ago. Cut your finger and watch it heal. That is an amazing thing that happens to me. I mean, we're amazing in how we're created and built. And so every single person has value, not just as a team member, but the fact that they're a human being walking the planet. You got to make sure you truly value that. Am I sure that the issue is theirs and not mine? Going back to washing the truck, right? Have I washed the truck for them? Am I the reason that they're not doing the job I want them to do?
You know how many dads assume that their son, their legacy from their loins, is supposed to know everything that they know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Whose issue is it? Well, it's yours because you didn't teach them. You assumed, unfortunately, that they were all wise, all knowing.
Yeah, it's true. Number four, am I sure that I'm not speaking up because I feel threatened? That's a good moment of reflection right there.
Oh, it's a confidence issue too.
Yeah, it very much is. Number five, is the issue more important than the relationship?
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, here's what will happen. As an owner, you'll let little things kind of pile up that are really important to you and you know you need to discuss them, such if I were to let that go with Curtis or other things. And then one day, one little thing happens. But all these other things are in your brain from the past that are piled up on it, and you want to just go unload everything on them at one time. And that's not leadership, I'm afraid. That's all those things you just mentioned, the confidence and the feel threatened and you know, all those other things that go with it. What was the reason you didn't go and discuss those things earlier when you should have, when you could have had, when it was a smaller thing? Rather than allow it to become bigger.
Which goes to show you that when they are small things, Mike, they should be dealt with. Because small things can become big things if they're ignored. And a lot of little things can just carry a lot of weight on someone's shoulder and says, hey, it's time you and I had a talk. By the way, we have to talk about 10 things in the last 6 months. That's not healthy.
And I'll throw one little helpful hint to all leaders that deal with anybody that comes in late, because sometimes that seems to happen in our industry a lot. And so I've had to do this, and I'd go to an employee and it would go like this, Carm. I'll say, hey, Carm, do you like breaking promises? And you would say no. I know Carm would say no. And if you have an employee that says yes, you've got the wrong employee anyway. But most of them are going to say no, I don't want to break a promise. Well, you know, those hours that we have on our website and on the front door and outside. You know what that is? That's a promise. That's a promise to our customers that you will be here ready to serve them at that time. And I need your help, Carm, to keep that promise. Will you help me keep that promise, Carm?
I sure will, Mike.
Number six, does the conversation serve their interest and not just mine? And that comes back to what I've said, this Maxwell method of leadership has to do with valuing other people. See, it's got to serve their interest as well. Not just your own. It could be for their personal growth. It could be for their own knowledge. It could be for a lot of other reasons than just your own. And that's the way, the perspective you need to try to have with things, the ability to grow. And then number seven, am I willing to invest time and energy to help them change? Because if it's a change that needs to take place, it might be resources. I've developed this leadership program to help people grow. I go through the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, which is a book written by Maxwell. I teach that, give instructions, and hold accountable to students that are in leadership. And then number eight, am I willing to show them how to do something and not just say what's wrong? And that goes back to the whole washing the truck idea. You know, am I willing to take the time? This is, in fact, your role as a leader to develop people. As I said, and I mentioned this last week, we talk about Chick-fil-A, we talk about Container Store, places that are leadership development companies that happen to sell chicken or happen to sell containers. You need to be a leadership development, have this mindset, a leadership development company that happens to sell auto service. And that's a whole different mindset. And then number nine, the last one, am I willing to set clear expectations? And so that goes back to good communication, job descriptions, those kinds of things to make sure it's clear. And so think through those nine things before you go through a particular situation, and it will help you in communication that maybe retain a really great employee or help you decide you need to make one available to the industry, right?
This was just fabulous. Thank you. I mean, you talk about being able to pull a lot of great ideas and do some self-development. And I'll make sure that we put all these pointers that we discussed in the show notes on the website. So when the episode releases, we'll tell everyone how to be able to find this stuff. And here's the greatest thing. Once you open up the show notes, you can hear the podcast there, hear it on your favorite podcast listening app, but you can copy the notes, right? The talking points, and then create an agenda for yourself personally and or for your team to all practice better leadership. This was great. Part two of this great leadership series from Mike Davidson. Stick around for part three, whenever that will probably release in 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to call it Creating a Leadership Growth Environment, part one. How cool.
Yeah, we got 10 lessons to go through. You don't want to miss. If you miss all the others, you want to set this up. This is how to set up a leadership environment within your organization so you can actually have a leadership development company that happens to sell automotive service.
Cool. Mike Davidson, thank you so much, man.
Oh, you bet, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.